You're listening to the UAV Digest, the weekly audio podcast bringing you coverage of unmanned aerial vehicles and systems. Find us at theuavdigest.com. So I was getting ready to talk to some representatives from a major aerospace company, and David came around and said, you know, Aurora Flight Sciences is here. And he drugged me away to talk to Thomas Washington. Hi, thanks for talking to the UAV Digest.
No problem.
Well, the reason why is we're in a hangar full of small aircraft, and then there's this one large full-size diamond aircraft that has a video running in front of it where you get to watch it taxi and fly sans people. Thomas, you want to tell us about what we're standing next to?
Sure. It's a, like I said, it's the baseline airplane of the Centaur is a Diamond Twin Star, or DA-42, that we've essentially converted to be a what we call an optionally piloted airplane. So what that means is, sure, you can fly it as a normal light twin, or you can fly it as a unmanned airplane, and there's actually a third mode of operation where it's called the hybrid mode, where you can actually fly with what we call an onboard safety pilot who has, you know, control, the ability to be able to take over and, you know, resume control of the airplane. But it can also be essentially controlled from a ground control station as well. So that's what this airplane that we have here is, and it's the same one that's actually in the video that you saw. We came up here, I guess, to Griffiths earlier this summer to do a what we called our unmanned flight test campaign, where we essentially, like I said, took the pilot out of the airplane and flew a couple of sorties locally as an unmanned airplane.
Did you have to do many manned flights before going unmanned in order to check out the systems and so forth?
Yeah, so I guess the process that we went through for development of this asset started several years ago. I guess the program originally started back in 2009, where we had the idea of this whole UAS that was what we called self-deployable. So the concept was, you know, instead of taking apart your UAV, your large UAV, and putting it in shipping containers and shipping it wherever you wanted to go fly, well, why not fly in with the airplane, do some sort of minimal amount of conversion, and then, you know, be able to operate as an unmanned airplane. So that was the original concept. And yes, it was, from a development to what you see right now, has been a process where we started off with, you know, doing smaller, simple things like just being able to develop the avionics and the mechanical bits and the software associated with just the basic thing of, you know, flying the airplane upright, you know, up and away. Then we moved on to things like takeoff and landing, and we moved into things like, you know, handling emergencies and failures of the system. So it's been a long kind of process, but that, you know, it's worked out.
How much of it is stock? What are we putting in to make it an optionally manned aircraft?
So what we do, I mean, like I said, the airplane is obviously stock. What we do is we use some of the provisions that are available, some of the spaces such as, you know, baggage compartments and things like that, to add avionics that we need to do, you know, sense of, you know, air data and attitude, and to provide places to put the necessary, you know, computing. And similarly, we also remove the, from an actuation standpoint, we remove the, instead of cutting holes in the airplane and putting, you know, servos and actuators in the actual wings and tail, we actually remove the co-pilot's seat in the airplane, and we replace it with essentially a mechanism that flies the airplane just similar to a pilot.
What was the net change in weight?
On the order of essentially the same as, you know, if you had a co-pilot sitting in the airplane. So your average humanoid kind of, you know, would essentially what we replaced with some electronics and mechanical bits to be able to do the unmanned features. So,
any big challenges or unexpected issues that came out of the testing? I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of fortunate in that we did a lot of the development, I guess, back in our facility. We have a pretty high fidelity simulator, so we were able to deal with a lot of those things in the simulation environment versus actually in flight. So that made it a lot safer. But the most complex pieces of it were the things that are obvious. You know, how do you make an airplane take off and land by itself without operator input? You know, how do you have the airplane handle failures on its own? So those are the things that we spent the most time on thinking about and implementing.
I guess our last question is, what's your next steps?
Good question. If you want to buy one, they're for sale. So essentially what we're doing is we're turning this. This has been a program that the company, I guess, started on its on kind of our own dime. So we've had a couple of launch customers that we've sold systems to. So we're really looking at essentially the productization of this. And it turns out that some of the most interested customers are people who want to use the asset to do, you know, other things such as sense and avoid research, which is a big deal with UAS, or to do, you know, scientific applications where you want to, you know, put a science payload on the airplane and go fly it somewhere like Alaska or whatever, as well as the standard, you know, ISR type thing. So our big next thing is, you know, developing as a product and putting it in the hands of people who want to use it to do good things. So.
All right, very good. Thanks, Thomas, for speaking to us and our listeners.
No problem.
Thank you for listening. Find more great content at theuavdigest.com.